We continue the Shiur in Gemara. The Gemara says we have a pasuk in the Torah where Hashem commands the Kohanim, Mitzvah the Kohanim, Kol Tevarchu et Bnei Yisrael. This is how you should bless the Jews. The pasuk Yivarechacha Hashem Yishmanecha. There are three pasukim which contain 60 letters. And the Zohar Kadosh says these correspond to the letters of the Kriyat Shema. How do you have 60 letters in the Kriyat Shema? Also, because that stands for the 60 advance, 600,000 corresponds to the 600,000 Jews. And every step as we elevate in this Sefirot, the heavens, they are multiplied by 10. 10 Sefirot are multiplied by 10. They go from 6, which is the Vav of Hashem's name, becomes 60, and then 600, as we advance in Hashem's name, until 600,000, that's the completion. But these 60 letters of the Berakat Kohanim refer to the Berakha for all 600,000 Jews. 600,000 basic neshamot. Of course, there are more than 600,000 Jews, but basically, that's how many neshamot there are. But in this bracha, the Torah says, bless the Jews with this piece, pasukim. And then, the last pasuk says, v'samu et shemi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarachem. The Kohanim should place my name on the Jews, meaning they should bless the Jews with my name. And then Hashem says, in turn, I will bless them. So the Kohanim are told, bless the Jews with this special berecha yivarechacha, and then I will bless them. It does not say whom Hashem will bless. Who is them? So the Gemara says, meanwhile, let's first examine this words, v'samu et shmi. The Kohanim should bless the Jews with my name. It does not say which name. Even it says, the shmi, my name, means my special name, the one and only. The one and only special name of Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Gematria 26. This is the special name of Hashem, Shmi Hamiyuched. There are also other names of Hashem called Kinui. Kinui means, like using the word nickname, a given name, an additional name, but which is not the actual special name of Hashem. A Kinui, you have Elohim is a Kinui. In fact, as the Rizal points out to prove it, Elohim is Begimetria Kinui, to show that it's not the actual name, it's a Kinui. And then you have the Shem Aleph Dalad Nun Yud, Shem Adne, which is also a Kinui. These are not the names that Hashem wants the Kohanim to bless the Jews with. Only the special name. But where is this? In the Bet HaMikdash. The Bet HaMikdash, this name was used by the Kohanim to bless the Jews with. They actually spoke out the name of Hashem, which we are not allowed to mention today. Outside of the Bet HaMikdash, the Kohanim used the other names, Ado, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Now, why is this called, why is that name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, what is the secret behind it? Why is that called the Shem HaMiyuchad, the special name of Hashem? Others are called Kinui, added names. The answer is there is a Pasuk. The Navi says, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. And my name is one. Uchavodi le'acher lo etein. My kavod, the honor of my name, I will not bestow upon any other one, any individual, anything in existence. Because we find that the kinui, the added names, are given to others also. The word Elohim is used in the Chumash for judges. When two people have to go to court, it says they should come before Elohim. That word literally translated means judges, earthly, human judges. we find the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is used also for humans. We say Adon means master. Adoni, my master. But we use it today as sir. So that is the added name of Hashem, which Hashem allows to be used for others. But the Shem HaMiuchad, the name that is one, is never allowed for anyone else. No one anywhere could ever have that name applied to him. That is one name for Hashem Echad, for Hashem alone. Now, this is fact. What is the reason for that fact? Why is this name different? The answer is that the translation of the word Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, it's called Shem Havaya, means existence, being, a being which is timeless. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei means, translated as Haya, Hove, V'yeh, was, is, and will be, which means that there is no beginning and no end. It's infinite. Never was there a beginning, a start. Never will this come to an end. Hashem is eternal, past, present, and future. Anything which had a beginning, which had an inception, which was born, started, no matter how long it's going to last in the future, cannot be called by this name, because it is not something that was infinitely past. Anything which will come to an end eventually, which has a self, an ending, cannot be called by this name either, because this means infinitely in the future. That's the reason why this name, Shem Havaye, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, is infinite. It is one. It is only Hashem. That's why it is called the Shem HaMeforash, special name of Hashem, Shem HaMiuchad. Yuchad means it is reserved only for Hashem Echad. Never can it be used in any form for anyone else. It is this name that Hashem said to the Kohanim to bless the Jews with. Then the Yemenah says that Hashem desires that the Kohanim bless the Jews. Why? Because the Pasuk ends with, Yisamu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael, they should place my name in blessing upon the Jews, va'ani avarachem, and I will bless them, Hashem says. So what is meant by them? There's a machloket, a debate in the Gemara between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael says, the word ani avarachem means, Hashem says to the Kohanim, you bless the Jews. Now the Kohanim will say, fine, we bless the Jews. How about us? We have no blessing then. Only the Jews do. What do the Kohanim get? Hashem says, you bless them. In turn, I will bless you. Rabbi Akiva says the Kohanim don't need that because Kohanim are a blessed people. When Hashem says to the Kohanim, bless the Jews, bless them, v'ani avarachem, and I will add my blessing to it. I will confirm this bracha as coming from me. According to Rabbi Akiva, who says that ani avarachem means Hashem will bless them, why do we need the Kohanim altogether if that's the case? Why don't you get it direct? Hashem blesses the Jews. What's the Birkat Kohanim for? There we see, the Gemara says that Hashem desires the bracha of the Kohanim be placed upon the Jews. In general, we have a statement in the Gemara, Altahi Birkat Hedyot Kala Beinecha. Let not the bracha of an ordinary person be light in your eyes. You say you go for a bracha to a very important individual, a holy person, and you might minimize the blessing of an ordinary person. Don't take that lightly, because any Jew who gives you a bracha, that bracha counts. Zohar HaKadosh says, there's a deeper word intended there. It doesn't say Birkat Am Ha'aretz or Birkat Pashut. It says Birkat Hedyot. The word Hedyot is used generally for Kohanim. As one Kohen was called Kohen Gadol, the top leader of all the Kohanim. The others are called Kohen Hedyot, which means the ordinary Kohen, not the chief Kohen. The Gemara says, Altehi Birkat Hedyot Kala Beinecha. When all these Kohanim, each one is a Hedyot, a plain Kohen, gets up and gives you a blessing, don't take that lightly, because this is something that Hashem desires for them to give you, and it is through their blessing that then Hashem blesses the Jews. Hashem wants first that the Birkat Hedyot should reach you, then comes Hashem's blessing. Even it says the Koshel Bracha, which is used after a meal, cup of blessing too. Speaking now about blessings, after a Sudeh, feast or a meal, it's customary to Berek, and this Koshel Bracha is given to a special person at the meal. So first, let's first finish. Before we get to this point, it's important to complete that last item about the Birkat Kohanim. Let's add a few laws involved. The Gemara says that Kohanim should not go to the Duchan to bless the Jews before they first wash their hands. The Kohen, before he offers this bracha, must wash his hands. Though he has washed his hands in the morning, though he has guarded his hands from becoming soiled in any manner, they must be washed again before this Birkat Kohanim. But he then says that this washing of the hands should be done through the Leviim. The Levi washes the hands of the Kohen. Levi serves to wash the Kohen's hands, because the Leviim, the Beit HaMikdash too, served under the Kohanim. Now what happens in a Knis where there are no Leviim? The Kohen has to have his hands washed. There are no Leviim. We take what is next to, what is comparable, on the same level as Leviim, according to the Torah, a Bechor, a firstborn, is the same Kedusha as a Levi, because originally all firstborn were holy. They were redeemed. Leviim took their place. So if there are no Leviim in the Knis, then a Yisrael, who is a Bechor, should wash the hands of the Kohanim. If there are no Bechorim in the Knis, then it is better that the Kohen wash his own hands rather than have a Yisrael wash his hands. Because the Gemara says, the Zohar Kadosh says, let one who is pure and holy purify one who is holy too. The Leviim are called holy, the Kideshta Telviim, the Bechorim are called holy, Kidiko Bechor. So either a Levi or a Bechor should wash the hands of a Kohen. If he is not there, let a Kohen better wash his own hands rather than have a Yisrael who is not holy to serve him. Now we know that there are different crowns. A Kohuna itself, a Kohen, is called the Keter Kohuna, crown of Kohen, especially the crown of a Kohen Gadol, the leader. There is also Keter Malchut, the crown of a king. Royalty also wears a crown. There is a higher crown, Keter Torah. A Talmid Chacham wears the crown of Torah, and this crown of Torah stands higher than Kohuna or Malchut. A Talmid Chacham is higher than a Kohen or a king. In this case, what if the Levi or the Bechor is a Talmid Chacham, and the Kohen is an Amharetz? He is not learned. Is it proper for the Kohen, the Amharetz, to be served by a Talmid Chacham who wears a more important crown than the Kohen himself? Is that considered belittling, degrading the Kavod of Torah? Do I have a Talmid Chacham serve, wash the hands of a Kohen? It then says, and if there are a number of Kohanim, if some Kohanim are Talmidei Chachamim, learned, if some are Amharetz, then all agree that it is forbidden to embarrass the other Kohanim, the Amharetzim, by having the Talmid Chacham wash only the learned Kohanim's hands and not the Amharetz. That is definitely forbidden, because embarrassing a person is the worst thing possible. If there are only an Amharetz Kohanim, or let's say there is one Kohen, he is an Amharetz, then there is a debate among the Poskim, the rabbis, and the Shulchan Aruch. Some say that it is forbidden. The Pri Chadesh, one of the most powerful Sephardic rabbis, says it's forbidden for a Talmid Chacham to degrade not himself, But the Kavod of Torah, which he contains, to wash the hands of a Kohen, the majority of the poskim, though, say, the Achronim say, that definitely it is a mitzvah to respect the Beracha of a Kohanim, even if he is a Kohen Am Haaretz, a real Hedyot, and a Tamid Hacham, a Levi, or Lechol, should wash his hands. That is the law as it remains, the final statement, that the hands of a Kohen should be washed regardless of what type of Kohen he is, regardless of how great, let's say, the chief rabbi in the Knis is a Levi, he should wash the hands of the lowest Kohen in that Knis. When we come back to this Pasuk, we begin speaking about Beracha, Bekat Kohanim. There are many types of Beracha, because a Kos Shel Beracha, a cup of blessing, which means after a meal, we have the Bekat Amazon, grace after meals. When you have three people or more, we have Zimun, where they bless, they say Bekat Amazon together. The eldest takes the cup of blessing, the Kos Shel Beracha, in his hands. He says he leads the others in Bekat Amazon. This is called Kos Shel Beracha. Generally, the Gemara says that if there are three or more, who is the one to lead in this Bekat Amazon, who takes the cup of blessing? The Gadol Shebikulam. The eldest, or the most learned, is the one to be given the Kavod. However, there are additional rules in this din. For example, the Gemara says here that we do not give this cup of blessing to anyone but one who is a Tov Ayin. Tov Ayin is the opposite of Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara means one who is jealous, one who begrudges someone, looks with an evil eye at that person, and could, chas v'shalom, harm him. Tov Ayin means one who bears no grudge, one who is unselfish, one who enjoys seeing others who are well off, others who are successful. So one who is a Tov Ayin, he is the one that is fit to Berek, to lead the Bekat Amazon. Now this Tov Ayin, how can we tell? Well, the one who feeds the poor is one who shows his kindness, his chesed, his kindness in feeding others. He is considered a Tov Ayin, because he gives from his bread to the poor. This is the sign of a good heart and a good eye. So the Gemara says now, in a drasha, a pasuk says, Mishle by Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon the Wise says, Tov ayin hu yivorach. One who has a good eye, hu yivorach, he shall be blessed from heaven. Kina tami lachmol adal, because he gave his bread to the poor, therefore in turn he shall be blessed. That's the way it's read. But in the pasuk, it is spelled, Yevorach is spelled without the vav, yud bet resh chaf, which means that it could be pronounced also Yevarech. The Gemara says we can read that also Yevarech, which means not just that he will be blessed, but also he is the one that is fit to give the blessing, to say the blessing. So from the Gemara we see that one that feeds others is one that is fit to say the Birkat HaMazon. Now, the Gemara does not ask a question that's obvious in this case, obvious kushya. We do find this kushya brought in the Zohar Kadosh. In fact, it's amazing that even the commentaries of the Mefarshim don't ask this question either. In the Zohar Kadosh, we find this question brought out in detail, the story that took place once, where two of the Talmidim, the students of Rabbi Yeshua Bar Yochai Zal, were once traveling, Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon Yochai Zal had many students, but six were his main students, and these were classified as the 6 days of the week. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal was classified as the Shabbat. These were classified too as the six candles of the menorah, three on each side, which burned towards the center. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal was the Nehem Sa'id, the center candle, to which all candles turned to receive their light from. So two of these major students, Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yehuda, were traveling, and they went to visit the Homa Rav Hamruna Saveh, who had passed away some time back. We went to visit his home, and they came to his house. His wife was there, and his small son, 5-year-old child, who was known as a Yanuka. Yanuka means a small child, practically an infant, 5-year-old, but who was very clever, very learned. And as we'll see, he was so learned, obviously even more learned, than the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, who were the greatest rabbis in that generation. The Arizal explains how this is possible. There are times when a tzaddik is nistalek, he passes away, and he has risen to such a tremendous height that he needs only a slight iota to reach perfection. He is permitted to come back to this world, the Gilgul, reincarnated, reborn, for that short period of time. But not only is he allowed to come back for that short period of time, he's permitted to come back with all his faculties, everything that he has developed in the past life, he comes back with now complete. As a child, he has the mentality exactly of the great tzaddik he was while he was alive. This was the Yiduka, this child of Rav Hamruna Saveh. When these two great tzaddikim, students of Shimon Chai, walked into the house, the wife of the widow saw them, recognized them, because they were frequent visitors, and her son was home at the time. He usually went to the yeshiva to learn. Now he happened to be home. So she said to her son, quickly, go to these two great tzaddikim, as is customary, and ask them for their blessings. He turned to them, and he leaped backwards, and he said, I will not even approach them. I can't come near them. They were amazed. He looked like a nice child, well-behaved boy. This wasn't very respectful. So they said to him, our child, why do you act this way? He said, because the Torah tells us that any person who sullies Kriyat Shema after the Zman, after the time, is automatically put in Chidim, that's a heavenly curse, that entire day. If he says Kriyat Shema late, he's in Chidim for the rest of the day. And I could tell, I could detect by the smell of your garments that you missed saying Kriyat Shema today on time. The time was, let's say, 9 a.m. You said it later than 9 a.m. You missed it. You are in Chedem. I cannot come close to you. So they stood there amazed. They said to him, in the first place, it is true. We did miss saying this man, but that's because there was an emergency that arose this morning. It was a matter of saving two people's lives. In case of emergency, a chatan and kala had to be saved. We were completely absorbed in performing this mitzvah, which is so important that we were exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema at that time. So we're not to blame at all. But how could you tell? You didn't know about us. You didn't see us. He said, I can recognize from the smell of a person exactly what mitzvah he has performed, which mitzvah he is lacking. So they said, this is not normal. It's not natural. And they began to, they approached the boy and they gave him their blessings anyhow, feeling that this child really deserved blessings, one who is so advanced, so unusual. Then they sat down at the table and he began to speak. He began to expound the mystic sources, Kabbalah, the Torah. They sat there spellbound, listening to him. Things they had never heard before in their lives, deep secrets of Torah, they began to reveal to them. Afterwards, they ate, and they were very excited, very happy to hear this, because there's nothing more thrilling than hearing a chidush in Torah. At the end of the meal, it came time to berak, where there were three seated there. You're supposed to have three grown-ups, but the din says that if a child is very deep, very advanced in Torah, you can't use this child for a third party to complete to complement the mezumen, three. So they had to prepare for this kosher bracha, this birkat hamazon. The wine was poured into the cup, the kosher bracha, and this child, this yinuka, this child said, I shall berek. The two rabbis looked at him and said, respectfully asking you, how can you berek? Isn't there a law which says that at a meal, the bal habayit potseya, the master of the house, the host, that is the one that says the birkat hamotzi, or the bread first. He doles out the motzi, a piece of bread to each one. And then, after the meal, the oreach mevarech, the guest at this meal, is the one to say birkat hamazon. Because the guest then blesses the host for having given him a meal. So this is the law in the Gemara, law in the Shulchan Aruch. At any meal, the guest is the one to take the cup of blessing to Berek, because he's going to extend his blessings to the host. Then they ask this child, how can you say, with all your vast knowledge, how can you claim that you are going to Berek? Isn't that against the law of the Torah? Child answered scoffingly. He just brushed them aside very easily and said, first place, I am not a bal habayit. I am not the host. The second place, the question you ask, the pasuk you bring, is the source of bal habayit. The host says the motzi, the guest bereks. I have a more important source, a greater source than that. I have a pasuk which says that I am supposed to beg. Pasuk says, Tov ayin hu yivarech. One with a good eye, he is the one to berek birkat hamazon. Because, ki natami lachmo ladal, because he gave from his bread his food to the poor. We're not speaking here about material food, bread. Speaking about spiritual food, Torah. Who is poor? The one who is poor, the one who lacks knowledge of Torah. The one who has this knowledge is one who is wealthy. The Gemara says in the Darim, Dabe Kulabe, one has da'at, he has everything, he's wealthy. One has no da'at, he is poor. In ani ela b'deya. An ani, a poor man, is only one who lacks knowledge or wisdom, not money. Therefore, this pasuk means he gave from his bread to the poor, means that he fed from his knowledge of Torah to those who are lacking this knowledge. Since you are the ones that received this nourishment from me, I fed you, I didn't get from you. I fed you this bread, this nourishment of Torah, and therefore it is appropriate, fitting, that I be the one to berek, as the pasuk dictates, Tov ayin uyivarech. I had a good eye, meaning that I did not begrudge you. I poured out words of Torah and knowledge to you. I am the one to berek. They accepted this. He bereked. Then they returned to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. They told the other students about this. They were very curious to meet this amazing yinuka, this child. Short time later, Rabbi Elazar, Shimon Bar Yochai Zal's son, Rabbi Abba, that was his leading student, the one who wrote, the writer of the Zohar HaKadosh, and Rabbi Yossi, the three were out on the road. They were going to visit Rabbi Elazar's father-in-law. They came to a point at the road where they noted that this is only 3 miles from the house of this yinuka, this child. Rabbi Elazar, who was the leader, said to the other two, let's turn off the road, walk those 3 miles and visit this child. Let's see this amazing child the other two rabbis spoke about. They came to the house. When they came in, the child ran forward to greet them, very thrilled, invited them to the table, and said, be my guests, there's a meal prepared for you. And the question is, do you want this meal in peace, or do you want this meal in war? and battle. Peace means you just sit and eat. Battle means the real milchama, war, is in Torah. That's where you have the giants of Torah battling, the rabbis and the Gemara debating a law, debating an issue, a topic, or the later rabbis debating the final word of law. This is called the War of Torah. It's a war which always ends in peace, because they finally see eye to eye, and there is the greatest unity at the end. Though it seems, it appears they are enemies at first, but the greatest battlers in the end finally make peace, and they agree on the outcome. So do you want this as a quiet meal, or would you rather have war first, which means words of Torah, where we will probably not see eye to eye? Rabbi Elazar smiled and said, of course, we'd like to have war first, but in war, you have to know how to handle weapons. You have to know how to handle a spear, a sword, a shield, bow. How would a child like you know how to handle these weapons? The child said to Rabbi Elazar, don't worry about me. If you're going into war, worry about yourself handling these weapons, because it'll be you that will be in danger. Rabbi Elazar was very anxious and said, I heard about this. Let's accept the battle first, and then we'll eat. Then the Zohar Kadosh goes into a long discussion of this battle that took place. Here they discussed certain items. They battled about it, and this child was victorious. At the end, they came time to Bedik. The child said, I shall Bedik. Rabbi Elazar said, it is absolutely fitting that you do Bedik. He didn't question that point at all. The child was very happy and said, because you have agreed immediately, then you are going to receive in turn the blessings from on high, the blessings of heaven. Top blessings, because you have given me this chance to Bedik. Which means the same as the Pasuk, where Hashem says, the Kohanim will bless the Jews and I will bestow my blessings upon them. This too here, he said, if you allow me to Bedik, in turn you'll have the blessings of Hashem. But in this story we find the statement of the Gemara with the question asked about this point. How can we say, Tov ayin hu yivarech? One who has a good eye who gives food blesses, says the Birkat HaMazon, if the law states that the guest is the one to say the Birkat HaMazon. And of course, the final law does say that the Birkat HaMazon belongs to the host. It is his. But it's his honor, his right, and out of politeness, he should extend this right to the guest, give the guest the chance to Bedik, in turn, be blessed by the guest, who says in the Birkat HaMazon, Achmei Yivarechet Bala Bayit Hazeh, he blesses the host in the Birkat HaMazon. The requirement still is Tov Ayin, one who has a good eye, one who has this kindness and this chesed, his blessing is one that comes true, fulfilled, because of the fact that the actual Pasuk states, Hu Yivorech, he is blessed by Hashem. And one who is blessed can then extend the blessing to others. Now, to conclude that story of the Zohar HaKadosh we just brought, the Zohar HaKadosh says that these three rabbis, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal, and Rabbi Abban, Rabbi Yossi, came back to Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal and reported this. They told him about this amazing child, and they asked, how is that possible? What is the explanation of this amazing child? Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal said, this is a case of a very bright light, extremely bright light, a child that comes out shining like a blazing star. But it's like a shooting star that passes across the heavens and it's gone. In other words, this child is guaranteed to live a very short time. He will not grow up. He's going to pass away shortly. Because he is so bright, he cannot exist in this world long. Rabbi Abban asked Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal, but we find there are other brilliant children, geniuses, prodigies, who grow to a ripe old age. Mishum Yechayezal answered, these other children prodigies are ones who come out with bright statements once or twice, number of times, and it's you can recognize that they're going to be great geniuses when they grow up. But this is not a case of a child who says one or two words of wisdom. This is a child who is filled with a depth of knowledge that's incomparable. And his words are continuous, perpetual. One like this, this flow cannot continue on this world. He must pass away soon. I only pray that his mother not suffer in sorrow over this tragedy. The last words of it can have that, and so it came to pass that the child passed away. Of course, as the Rizal explained, as we said, this was not an ordinary child born. This was a Gilgul, came back to this world to perfect something. He was there for a short period of time with all his faculties, and then left, returned to his righteous place in Gan Eden, paradise forever. The Gemara tells us a law that is absolute. Only this same wording is found in the Zohar Kadosh too. The wording in the Gemara is much milder than the one in the Zohar Kadosh. And it would be very advisable to have this statement tacked up in every shul, every knis. The Gemara says, as soon as the Sefer Torah is opened up to be read in the knis, Kriyat HaTorah, it is forbidden for any Jew, any person in Knis, to speak at that time, even if he's going to speak words of Torah, that too is forbidden. It is disrespectful. The reason is that the moment the Torah is being read, there is then being revived and replayed the incident of Matan Torah, when the Jews received the Torah at Mount Sinai. And the Baal Koreh, the one who reads the Torah, represents Kaviyachol, the voice of Hashem, giving the Torah to the Jews. The one who is called up, the Aliyah, represents Moshe Rabbeinu, receiving the Torah. And all Jews around in the Knesset at that time represent the Jews standing at the foot of Mount Sinai, receiving the Torah then. It is certainly sacrilegious, disrespectful to Hashem, to speak anything, even the holiest words, at a time when Hashem is speaking. So that the Gemara says it is absolutely an isur, haram, for any person to speak then. The Zohar HaKadosh says the same sentence. I would not say repeats this sentence, because the Zohar HaKadosh, of course, came prior to this. This is a statement by an Amora, a rabbi who lived many hundreds of years after Zohar HaKadosh, after the Shema Yechayzel. Zohar HaKadosh says, any person who speaks at that time shall have no part in anything holy, in lo chelik b'elokei Yisrael. He is considered ostracized from the Jewish people, with no connection to anything heavenly or to Hashem, as we shall. Therefore, this means that the person should adopt absolute silence when the Torah is opened and being read. The Gemara says that the students of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua asked him a question. He lived to an old age, and they asked him, can you tell us the secret of your longevity? How come you were zocher to live to such a ripe old age? Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, this is interesting to note, it is brought, Rashi HaKadosh says, many places, that Rabbi Elazar, his name is found in the Gemara many times, just the word Rabbi Elazar. There were many Rabbi Elazars in the Gemara, different ones, different fathers. But whenever the Gemara says Rabbi Elazar, without son of, the rule is this is Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. The Tana means the first rabbis of the Gemara. When the Gemara speaks of the Amora, means the later rabbis, Rabbi Elazar, Stam means without adding the name of his father, next down to speaking about Rabbi Elazar ben Pedet, who was the student of Rabbi Yochanan. Interesting point to note, though always, which Rabbi Elazar the Gemara is speaking about when just the name alone is mentioned. Stam Tena Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Stam Amora Rabbi Elazar is Elazar ben Pedet. For those who are acquainted with the rabbis of the Gemara, this is a very pertinent, very important bit of information. Students, here asked Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, with what were you zoche to live such a long life? And he answered, he was a Kohen. He answered, the first reason was that I never used the Knis, the Knesset, or the Bet Midrash for a shortcut. If I had to get somewheres, and I could save time by cutting through the shul, the Knis, I did not do so out of respect for the Knis. Now, this, of course, seems very obvious. Ask any person alive today, do you ever use the Knis for a shortcut to get across the street or the other side? And they would say, of course not, never entered our minds. What is great about this? Obviously, there's a point deeper than this involved. The answer is that Rabbi Elazar never used it even without touching anything in the Knis, without getting had a pleasure out of the Knis itself. Even that he did not do, how much more so, surely so, did he not have any pleasure physically from the Knis itself. How great was his respect, his awe for the holiness of this house of worship, house of Hashem, that he stood there with the deepest respect, never thinking or never using any part of the Knis for his own interests, only a means of serving Hashem, and nothing else. Second was his respect for a fellow Jew. When he came to Bet Midrash, the yeshiva, where they studied Torah, he said, I never stepped on the heads of the students. Stepped on the heads means I never stepped over them. Those days they sat on the ground without chairs. They sat around in circles and they listened to the lesson, the shiur, given by the rabbi. Now, if someone whose place, each one had his own place, his place was in the front seat, he walked inside late, that means he had to step over those who were already seated. This is disrespect to them. It's inconvenience that they have to move over. So he said, it never happened to me, meaning that I was always the first one in. I should not have to step over anybody else. I always came early to a shiur. Not only was I never absent, but I came early on time before the shiur began. I made sure I was the first one there, and not one of the last or the last. Very, very vital lesson said so long ago, and how this applies so directly to nowadays. Amazing what we can learn, what we need. Information is so important to us, so vital for the Torah being studied today. And of course, this shows us not just his interest in the learning of Torah, but also his interest, his concern for others, for fellow students, or even if he was their rabbi, he had to reach the front, he made sure to come first, not to disturb them. The third item, he said, which I was zochet to long life, was the fact that I never said the beracha of Kohanim without first saying, I never blessed the Jews without first saying a beracha. There's a beracha that the Kohanim say before they say Berakat Kohanim, Moshe Kirishana Midushato Shel Aharon. But never said it without a beracha first. Now, this is a chidush. Anybody knows, before you do any mitzvah, you first say a beracha. Before the Kohanim say Berakat Kohanim, they say out loud, Asher Kiddushanu. Everyone answers, Amen. Answer is, what he meant was, that to say the beracha means that I did say Berakat Kohanim. I was never lazy if I was in the first minyan. and I said Birkat Kohanim, I had fulfilled my duty already. When the next time came around I was there, I didn't walk out to avoid saying Birkat Kohanim again. No matter how many times there was Birkat Kohanim, I immediately ran to perform this precious mitzvah. Shows I did not begrudge the Jews receiving a blessing again and again. And of course, we see now what's meant by Hashem repay. You have this much concern for other Jews. Hashem says, I will bless you with a long, blessed, and fortunate life, a life of good fortune. Above all, we should learn from these great tzaddikim, or our teachers, our rabbis, our mentors, the how to perform a mitzvah, and ethics, midot, how to treat others. We are zocher to take these lessons, perform these mitzvot, with kavanah, with heart and soul, will be zocher to their blessings, to the blessings of Hashem, above all the beracha, to with our eyes and see the coming of Mashiach Tzadkenu, b'yom Beit HaMikdash, b'mehera, b'yameinu, amen, amen, v'yamein.